Front Page Dramas present The Woman with the Auburn Hair. This week's Front Page Drama, The Woman with the Auburn Hair, is a dramatization of one of the many thrilling true stories to be found in the feature article entitled Newly Revealed Trickeries of the Nazi Secret Armies. This amazing and very timely expose of the German Fifth Column activities in France, Belgium, and Holland is written by Maurice Brabant, prominent Belgian author and organizer of the defense against Fifth Column activities of the Germans in Luxembourg. Don't fail to read Mr. Brabant's authoritative article in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The time, a summer day just before the outbreak of war between Germany, France, and England last year. The place, an office in the Chancellery in Berlin, occupied by one of the high-ranking members of the Gestapo. One of the many German agents has just returned from Brussels, the Belgian capital.
So, Herr Doctor, you think you have found the man we need to carry on our work in Brussels, eh?
Yeah, Herr Commandant. His name is Robert Henkin, a very clever Belgian journalist. Member of a very good family, too.
Is Herr Henkin approachable? What are his weaknesses?
Wine, women, and song, and gambling. Also, Herr Henkin has domestic troubles. He's married to a very talented, charming woman. She is a clever painter. But Herr Henkin has neglected her and instead wastes his money in violent dissipation.
I hope you do not plan on using Frau Henkin in our little scheme.
Oh, no, Herr Commandant. But a clever woman could meet Herr Henkin, sympathize with him, tell him the old, old story of understanding, the poor, unfortunate, misunderstood husband. She could also help him with his financial problems, perhaps get him a good position with a very attractive salary.
Yeah.
You see, despite the fact he writes for many of the best papers and magazines, Herr Henkin is always short of money.
And have you a woman in mind?
Yeah, Herr Commandant. That lovely, seductive creature with the auburn hair who did such a wonderful job for us in Vienna. You remember the Hungarian, Fräulein Alice Hortmann?
Yeah, she's just the woman. I will send for her this afternoon.
She will win over our Herr Henkin, and as soon as she gets friendly with him, she can get him a nice, lucrative post. Say, correspondent for a large Japanese newspaper. That could easily be arranged, could it not?
With the greatest of ease, Herr Doctor. Correspondent at 15,000 francs per month.
Yeah.
It is settled. For that amount, he could be persuaded to cultivate the acquaintance of military men of various countries. With our Alice there to keep her eyes and ears open, we should be able to establish a nice, tight hold on Brussels.
Exactly. Herr Commandant, we must be prepared for the day.
The glamorous auburn-haired Hungarian woman took up quarters in a nice suite at a residential hotel, became acquainted with Robert Henkin, and soon had him completely under her influence. She succeeded in obtaining him a job as correspondent at a salary of 15,000 francs per month, just as the German secret agents had previously planned. When the French government invited a party of foreign journalists to visit the Maginot Line defenses, Henkin was chosen as the Belgian representative. His furtive manner, careful questions, and undue curiosity aroused the suspicion of a keen-eyed French intelligence officer.
Well, then you are quite sure, Monsieur le Capitaine, that this man, Robert Henkin, posing as a newspaper correspondent, is in reality in the pay of the German government.
May we, mon colonel? Here I have a confidential report on Monsieur Henkin's actions. Our agents in Brussels have checked up on the woman he is keeping company with. He is definitely a German agent. She secured the position he now holds as correspondent for an influential Japanese paper. This, mon colonel, is merely a front. His pay comes from the German Foreign Office. Much of the information he secured on the trip to the Maginot Line has been relayed to the German General Staff by Henkin's companion, Mademoiselle Alice Hortmann.
Now, this information is not enough. We must have definite proof that Henkin is a spy. We must trap him and turn him over to the Belgian authorities. Now, here is the plan we will follow. And you yourself, Capitaine, will carry it out.
Oui, mon colonel.
You will take some old plans of the Maginot fortifications. You will put in some false ammunition magazine places. You will offer to sell this information to Henkin. If you will wait, and if by chance the Germans begin concentrating their heavy fire on the positions you sell him, we will know that he has relayed this information to the boss. That will be positive proof to take to the Belgian government and cause his arrest. So, prepare your trap and leave for Brussels tonight. What makes you so sure I am in position to buy this information you may have, monsieur?
Friends, monsieur, who know us both very well, and whose names, for obvious reasons, it would not be wise to divulge. As I have told you, I realized from the very first this was not our war. France is being made the dupe of England. Therefore, I deserted the French army. And as I was leaving, I brought these plans with me. I have a passport to South America. All I need is the money to get me there. 10,000 francs, monsieur. Dirt cheap for the information I have.
Yes, but how do I know it is genuine, hey?
You have visited the Maginot Defense as a newspaper correspondent, I believe. One look at these plans will convince you they are genuine.
Oh, but first, monsieur, let me see them.
Oh, no, no. But I will not try to trick you. Pay me the 10,000 francs first. Then I will hand over the plans. If they are not genuine, you may return them and I will give you back your money. Is that not fair, monsieur?
Very well. Here is your money. Now give me the plans.
Voilà, monsieur. Here they are.
Yes, these look to be genuine enough.
They are genuine, monsieur. And my word of honor.
Very well, I believe it. We will call the transaction closed.
We have the proof now, mon capitaine. The boss is concentrating his heavy fire on those false positions we marked on the plans we sold our clan.
Oui, mon colonel.
It was just as I predicted. Those plans were rushed to the German High Command the same night I sold them to that traitor, Anquin.
We needn't delay no longer. We will file a full report at General Headquarters and request that they insist the Belgian authorities arrest Anquin. You, my capitaine, will proceed to Brussels again and shadow Anquin. Make sure he does not escape.
When the Belgian authorities heard of Hankin's treachery, they issued a warrant for his arrest. But Mademoiselle Alice's agents, firmly entrenched in Belgian headquarters, warned her of what was about to happen. And she lost no time in effecting an escape for Hankin.
Now listen to me. Pay attention and do just as I tell you. I have received word the authorities, upon the assistance of the French, have issued a warrant for your arrest.
My arrest? Then what am I to do? Where will I go?
Listen, you fools. Keep cool. Don't get panicky. Use your head and everything will be all right. Through your work for the Japanese papers, I have arranged for you to travel in their custody. A Japanese embassy car will pick you up and take you across the frontier to Tai.
Yes.
As long as you are in a Japanese official car, you are in Japanese territory and no one can touch you. In Tai, the car will take you direct to the Japanese embassy, and there you will be safe until another Japanese car takes you to Cherbourg. And there, a Japanese ship will take you to South America. Here is everything that you will need. Money, papers, and passports. Now, hurry. I'll communicate with you later.
Lieutenant Colonel, there isn't a moment to lose. Our little bird has flown.
He has escaped, but how? Where?
Fifth column agents in the Belgian Foreign Office warned Mademoiselle Alice Hortman. She arranged Anquin's escape in an official Japanese embassy car. He is on his way to the Japanese embassy in Paris. We cannot arrest him as long as he is under their protection. But we must prevent that car from pulling into the Japanese embassy in Paris. Block the driveway somehow so that the car has to stop in the street. When Anquin gets out and tries to cross the sidewalk, he will be on French soil, and I'll grab him before he has time to set foot on Japanese embassy territory. I'm following Anquin to Paris.
Très bien, mon capitaine. I will be sure the driveway and approach to the Japanese embassy is blocked and leave the rest to you. Au revoir.
Au revoir, mon colonel. Expect to hear from me in Paris.
What is the trouble, driver?
Apparently a street accident, monsieur. Two cars must have collided. One has been driven clear up on the driveway, blocking the embassy gate, so I cannot ride in. The other machine is halfway up on the sidewalk. Wait until they have towed these two red cars away. Then I can drive in, monsieur.
But the way those stupid fools are acting, we might be here all day. I can't afford to sit here in full view of every passerby. I might be recognized and seized.
Then if you don't want to risk that, I would suggest you step out of the car into the crowd and go in through the front door. It's only a few feet. There's no one among that crowd of tradesmen, boys, and laborers that know you.
I think it best to take the chance. Yes, you're right. There is no one in that crowd who knows me. I'll slip away now.
Don't be in such a hurry, monsieur. We have a podium appointment.
Out of my way, you stupid salesman. I have an appointment with the Japanese embassy official.
May we, but that can wait. We want you first. I am Captain Blancard of the French military intelligence. There is no use of trying to escape. This crowd of innocent-looking bystanders are all members of the Sûreté. You see, monsieur, we have been expecting you. We arranged this little accident to keep you out of Japanese territory covered by their embassy grounds and on this narrow strip of French soil. Arrest him, guards! We have a firing squad waiting for this traitor.
4 hours later, that sinister wall at Vincennes was again pockmarked by the bullets of a firing squad that brought death to a traitor. The auburn-haired German agent Alice, who brought Hankin to his doom, was more fortunate. Fifth column agents helped her escape scot-free to continue to corrupt Allied officialdom and pave the way for the eventual downfall of Britain's allies. You have just heard The Auburn-Haired Woman, one of the many exciting true stories and incidents of German fifth column operations in France, Belgium, and Holland before their collapse before the Nazi horde of invaders. Read this and all the other startling revelations told by Maurice Brabant, famous Belgian author and organizer of the defense against fifth column activities in Luxembourg, in his newly revealed trickeries of the Nazi secret army. Another very interesting and timely article to be featured in next Sunday's American Weekly is a scientific discussion of allergies, their cause and effect upon us mortals. This very unusual article entitled, Maybe It's Your Wife Who Makes You Sick, is one everyone should read. For the first time, science really knows what happens when you have allergies and discovers some astonishing ways that make you miserable. Naturally, time will not permit us to go into the subject at great length, but here's an idea of what can and does happen. Take the case of a certain Mr. Smith who is calling on his family physician.
Well, John, how's the young bridegroom these days?
John, if I know, Doctor, but I'm not very happy.
Oh, that sounds serious. Now, what's the trouble?
I don't know, Doctor. Whatever it is, it's ruining my romance. I think it must be some screwy kind of a cold.
A cold?
Yes, Doctor. When I come home from work and Margie comes up to kiss me, I get a sneezing and coughing spell. The same thing happens when I leave in the morning. Now, take last night, for instance. I was lying down on the studio couch reading. There was something I wanted Margie to hear. So she came over and snuggled up beside me and put her head on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hadn't read a dozen words before I was coughing and sneezing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, Margie felt very badly about it. It happened so many times that now she hesitates to come near me. She insisted that I come and see you.
Yeah, that's good advice because, Now, don't be surprised when I tell you this, young man. You are allergic to your wife.
What?
That's the fact, John. I've just been reading a book on the subject. Your wife's hair is probably the cause. Now, there may be certain dust particles, fine flakes of dandruff that gather on the strands of her hair, to which you have an allergy. And these cause an asthmatic condition, which results in violent coughing and sneezing fits.
Scientific tests have proven that such things do cause allergies. But to really become fully acquainted with these and many other strange allergies, read Maybe It's Your Wife Who Makes You Sick by Robert D. Potter, science editor in next Sunday's American Weekly. Page Dramas present Is There Gold in Them There Hills? This week's front page drama, Is There Gold in Them There Hills, is a dramatization of a feature article entitled To Uncover Death Valley Scotty's Secret Hoard at Last. This is but one of the many entertaining and worthwhile features to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly. Last Sunday, the American Weekly began a new feature which is meeting with nationwide approval and acclaim from people in every walk of life. 10 Tales from the Kalevala, the Heroic Saga of Finland, fascinating fables from the folklore of the Land of Waters. These charming folk tales are told by the eminent American author John Erskine and delightfully illustrated with faithful reproductions in full color of the masterful paintings of the world-famous artist Willy Pogamy. These truly magnificent works of art grace the front page of the American Weekly. You too will want to see this unusual series and most likely follow the example of hundreds of people who are preserving the covers and stories to bind and keep. The first in the series of 10 appeared last Sunday and will continue for the next 9 weeks in the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world. Now to our saga of a very colorful American who has captured not only the imagination of the nation, but a great big share of the headlines and space of our newspapers and magazines since he began his colorful career just after the turn of the century. In the office of the managing editor of one of the large West Coast newspapers, the M.E. is talking to one of his ace reporters.
Hey, listen, Jimmy, I think I've got an assignment that's right down your alley. How would you like to go out Furnace Creek in Death Valley and get an interview from Death Valley Scotty?
How would I like it?
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'd be tickled to death. I've been hearing and reading stories about him for years. What's he been up to now? Another record-breaking transcontinental train ride, or as he decided to build an addition on that $3 million castle he's got out there in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, nothing like that. In fact, he hasn't done anything. He's been kind of quiet lately. We just had a tip on a story that ought to bring him out of hiding in a hurry and start him on a rampage.
Well, it sounds like a great story.
It is. He'd just been tipped off that Julian Gerard, brother of James Gerard, United States Ambassador to Germany in 1914, is filing a suit in federal court to force Death Valley Scotty to give an accounting of his wealth.
Where does this Julian Gerard come into?